And Matthew chapter 16, and begin reading in verse 13. Let me say this before I read. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus the Lord, after you've suffered a while." I don't know how long a while is. Like the Bible said, yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and I don't know how long a while is, but I know we're appointed to suffering a while. Then he makes you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled in you. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "I glory at my infirmities." And that's some of them hard verses where it's pretty hard for us to do. When things ain't going, we think they're not going right. Of course, the Lord might think they're going okay. But from our standpoint, they feel like things are not going right. Paul knew what it was to be in jail, spend most of his preaching life in jail. Knew what it was to be stoned, left for dead. Whipped 5 times, 40 stripes, say one. When you read about Paul's problems, we really don't have much problems. I wonder how many of us could say after all that, "Hey, I glory in my infirmities." In other words, I'm glad I'm counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And we are appointed to suffering. But our generation knows nothing about suffering, you know. One fellow's talking about reigning with Christ. I said, "Well, I don't know if we ought to even mention that or not. Because the Bible does say if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us." Now, you can explain that after a while. But that sounds like if we don't suffer much, we don't reign much. And I have to confess, a lot of times I refuse to suffer with him. Don't hear much about taking your cross and following him. That cross got a lot of suffering. Nowadays we have a whole generation, that's generally speaking, a generation of so-called Christians without a cross. But you just think, can't be a Christian without a cross. It didn't only take Christ to make us Christians, it took his cross to make us Christians. Okay, Matthew 16, begin at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You may be seated. I want to try to preach just a few minutes on God's building program. As you go up and down the country, a lot of places you see big, tremendous buildings being built, skyscrapers we call them. And even some churches got great building programs going on, and I have nothing against that. If you need more room, that's good. But one fellow didn't know what to do with his crowd. He said, "I just don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "We're just out of room." I said, "Let one of us old preachers preach for you 3 nights, and we'll get it down to about 50 for you pretty quick." But God has a building program. He said here, in verse 18, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock." Of course, Christ is a rock. Peter's a little rock. Christ is a stone that was rejected by the builders. Psalm 118, verse 22. He's the stone that was laid in Zion. "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone." So Christ is the rock of ages. So, in a building, you need an architect. If it's much of a building, got to have an architect. The architect really, he draws out the plans and everything. He actually, in his mind, sees the finished product.
Yeah.
So I'm glad in God's building program, God is the architect. And he had something in mind before anything ever started down here. In Titus 1 and verse 2, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God the eternal life promised before the world began. And it was a hope then. Hope is always in the future. It hasn't been made manifest then. But God had this building in mind all the way back into eternity. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1:20 that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. It was manifest for you in these last times. So God didn't just decide that he needed a Savior, and sometimes folks sang a song, I used to hear it sung, just suppose God had searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be, that's a false supposition. God had a Savior before there was ever a sinner. God had a foundation before there was ever a building started. Had a foundation stone. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God, the mystery among them that are perfect, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory. So what God had in mind back there wasn't only for his glory, but it was for our glory. He said, none of the princes of this world knew this. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They did not know what they were doing. When Jesus prayed for them and said, Father, they don't know what they're doing, he was right. They didn't know what they were doing. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, that is the Old Testament. And most folks that give you that verse just give you part of it. As it is written, something written before, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have it in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So actually, back in the Old Testament, it was still hid. In the four Gospels, it was still hid. And it was made known to Paul what God was doing. He wanted to make all men see. Preach the unsearchable riches. It said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ among the Gentiles. That was hid. The Gentiles, how they're going to be made fellow heirs with the Jews. So that was him back there. The Gentiles as alien dogs. But Paul said he wanted to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. In other words, it would have been hid, which from the beginning of the world, he said it's been hid in God. So God had something in mind when he started to build this New Testament church. Upon this rock I will build my church in the gates of hell. Now that might mean the continuation of the church, but the gates is an entrance. We have a door in this building here. The building would be no good if you didn't have an entrance, a door, a gate, some way to get in. So I think what Jesus was saying, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going at the cross. And the devil and all of his cohorts are not going to stop me from building the church. The gates of hell is not going to prevent me. Stop me. So Jesus Christ went upon the cross and conquered death and conquered the devil and conquered hell and actually took the keys of hell and death away from the devil. And he destroyed him that had the power of death and delivered them who through a fear of death were all in a lifetime subject to bondage. Ain't that a blessing? And so God had something in mind. Think about that. God had the church in mind all the time. Of course, you can go down through the Old Testament, and there God, of course, made a covenant with Abraham, and a lot of the covenant there was earthly covenant with the chosen people. But now we get in on over here, according to Galatians 3, we're children of Abraham by faith in Christ. Christ was a descendant of Abraham, and the covenant, listen, was given to Abraham, made with Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, passed on to the 12 tribes. Jesus come in the tribe of Judah, of course a Jew, and salvations of the Jews. Now, when you get saved, you're not a Jew outwardly, but we're a Jew inwardly now. Because salvation's of the Jews. And now we have fellowship. We're partakers of Christ in the same body now. Amen. Because I mean, the law has been broke down. The veil's been rent in twain. God's grace is turned earthward. His mercy reaches out to all the world. And now everybody can come be made one in Jesus Christ. God's architect. And listen, the church is not about to go down. Now the membership may go down. And maybe more people quit from here on out than we've ever seen before. Because the pressure's on. I've been saying a good while, hey, the storm don't make you a Christian. It reveals what you are. When you go through problems, that don't make you necessarily, but it shows what you are. In other words, if you can't stand the storm, if you can't stand the testing time, if you can't keep on going in the face of opposition, I believe the old Baptists had it right in the same. They believed in perseverance of the saints. That is, that God put sufficient grace in her heart to keep on going in the time of opposition. We may not go too fast. We may not run too fast. But we keep on trotting home. We keep on looking into Jesus often things of our faith. We keep on pressing on. It's not what you do, actually, when you start. You know, the Bible talks about a man getting on the right foundation there in Matthew chapter 7. Two fellows come to the Lord. Both of them hear the word. One of them comes and actually in our language make a profession. But he didn't dig deep enough. He built on the sand. Other fellows heard the word of God and done it. He dug deep and got on the rock. And everything looked pretty good. Both of them was building buildings. I suppose that the buildings looked pretty good till the storm come. When the storm come, one of them stood the storm and one of them didn't stand the storm. Now you can just put this down and don't forget it. If you're not founded on the rock of ages on the foundation, you're not going to be able to stand these days of storm. The reason we're seeing so many people quit the church and quit the gospel and quit the old time way of worshiping God, quit the old time way of preaching, listen, all over this country, these churches 50 years ago, before the old timers died out, some of them stood for the truth, preached the truth, prayed in the altar, had good old time meetings, they got the new guys in, and slowly but surely they've turned away from the old time way of worship. Now they call you a legalist or illegalist or something. If you believe the word of God, stand through the word of God. They think y'all just rub the fur down and accept whatever comes in. Well, we're not going to do that. God's architect of this building. And Christ is the foundation of the building. God's got a building program going on. It's not going up too fast, but it's still being built. You know, sometimes we think, well, if we don't get a whole in gathering of a whole bunch of people, we ain't doing no good. You'd be surprised at us preachers. And if we think we don't have some response every time we preach visibly, we feel like we're defeated. You know, you'd be surprised the preachers that deal with people's emotions in order to try to get them to respond, to come to an altar, come up, and that makes them feel successful. I got some news for you. If you're saved and serving God, you're successful if nothing else ever happens. You don't have to get one more member to be successful. We're successful in Christ. It's not how many bears we kill. Hey, miss, we're going to be faithful to God. Jeremiah was a pretty good preacher. He didn't have any response. I mean, positive response. He had a lot of negative response. They said, there that old preacher is again. He's a preaching against what we're doing. Let's put him over there in the dungeon. Let's tie him up and let him down to the ruins in the mire and the sea things stand there. There's always persecution. I don't know how we get along so good with a crowd that hated Jeremiah the man, hated Christ the man, hated John the Baptist the man, hated Paul the man, and yet we get along pretty good with them, seem like. You know, I think this is right now. I believe this is right. You know, if you preach for success, in other words, if you preach for the stirring of the saints and nobody gets stirred, you're defeated. And if you preach for salvation of souls first and nobody gets saved, you feel defeated. But if you preach for the glory of God first, you're not defeated if nothing happens. As far as you, oh, there's something happening. There's something going, but you might not be able to see it right then. Christ is a foundation. Amen. He's been laid in this plan. He's been laid for a foundation. Praise God. And the Bible said the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And that everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm glad the foundation is not going to give away. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, of the foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. So it's been laid all the time, and it's your business, my business, to be sure on the foundation. If the foundation stands, the storm may come, the wind may blow, the rain may be, but the foundation of God stands sure. That's the blessing, ain't it? So there's an architect, and then there has to be a foundation. Then the workers in this building, the children of God, were his workmanship, and were lively stones. 1 Peter 2, a lively stones, spiritual house, offer up spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they offered up carnal sacrifices. Over here in the New Testament, we offer up spiritual sacrifice. That's why it talks about singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I thought as I was coming up the road today, listening to the radio, and they have in, now you can get in some of the churches where they have singings for $10. Plus a love offering. And you know, sounds good to a natural man. It's the same package deal as country music, you know. Get a bunch of these folks that's got second-handed country music, and get them together. Boy, you never get in on anything to stir your flesh up like that will. As Jimmy Swaggart used to say, though, make you want to toe tap some. Well, you better watch that gets in your toes. You better watch that makes you feel like dancing. Don't you think that's right? But the sad part breaks my heart. Most people don't know the difference. You know, folks get enough money to buy them a suit of light, get them a bus, go to Masonic Temple, or somewhere, some big building, auditorium, and you can get in to see them for $10 or $15. That's a real blessing, ain't it? You know, I'll tell folks, and of course I'm just an old backwoods, I'd rather hear George Jones sing drunk just to go. In other words, he don't claim to be saved. We know he's an entertainer. We know he don't claim to put up no religious signs. So when you go pay, you know what you're getting. And I just can't bear the thought to go and give him $15 to pay him for here a bunch of these folks that just got off a cruise wearing their Bermuda shorts. Going out on a cruise. Oh, they're singing and preaching out there. I know that. But it's the wrong kind of singing, wrong kind of preaching. You say, you're not the judge, are you? I said, no, but I'm the preacher right now. And I ought to have sense enough to discern a little bit of something. If it's not holy, it's not of God. I didn't know that. If it don't make you want to dress right tomorrow, you need to get on the Rock of Ages. Praise God. That preaching will challenge you. It'll comfort you, but it'll challenge you first. It'll correct you. I'll skip you in this place of God. And Papa for doctrine. One of them said, I don't like an old doctrinal preacher. Well, if you get saved, good, you'll like it. You can't preach the Bible not preach doctrine. Doctrine of salvation, doctrine of separation, doctrine of security, doctrine of sanctification, doctrine of second coming. The Bible's a book of doctrine. If you don't believe right doctrine, you believe wrong doctrine. Best thing in the world is get your heart right with God and then get your head straight. Yeah. You know the difference in this stuff, ain't that right? See, I've been here a pretty good while. Some months over, we sing it. I remember when J. Charles Jessup got in the basement. So most of y'all don't know who that is or who it was. But he'd make a tape, put it on the radio, and tell folks he's preaching from the empty tomb. The people send that money in. I heard one fellow down in Atlanta one time. I was going down to the meeting, and he was having financial problems paying his radio bill. And he had this anointed rag, a little piece of a cloth, and you could send $25, help him get caught up on his radio time. You could put that in your purse of your wallet and said you'd never have any more financial problems.
Yeah.
And I turned around to my wife, I said, reckon why he don't use it. But you'd be surprised, people. Hey, Bobby, I know a fellow right now down in Charlotte. He got a guy bobbing up on a big tractor trailer, bobbing up ounces of water. You can get some of that cure-all water. Just drink that, just cure everything for $25. That's a pretty good deal. That beats more than the doctor, don't it? The sad part of it is, people watch television or read the Bible. This whole generation's drunk on TV. You can't watch television 5 or 6 hours a day and never pray and never read the Bible and come to church and enjoy the right thing. That's going to take something to stir your flesh up. If you come back, if that's the way it is, I'm just going to start this message. I'll finish it the rest of the week. But I say, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him or do you know about Him? Many people know about Him, but they don't know Him. The old Thomas had right to know Jesus Christ aright is eternal life. You can know Him and not know Him aright. You can know about Him. You can believe in the virgin birth, sinless life, vicarious death, by the resurrection, and still be lost. You can believe the Bible. Somebody said, I believe all the Bible. You can believe the Bible. The Bible's not our Savior and still not know Christ in reality. See, to know Him, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. The only true God, not know about Thee, but know Thee. The only one way you can know Him, the Holy Ghost, that's to introduce you to Him. Holy Ghost puts Him in you, and you in Him. That's the work of God. That's not the work of the preacher. That's not the work of the church. With our work, of course, we're workers, and we work on this building. We sow the seed, water the seed, but God gives increase. And so what we're doing, we're just working on the building. Working on the building. Labors together. That's what we're doing. Labors together with God. The only arm in the world that kills its own soldiers is the church. You know, y'all probably don't have it here, but a lot of places I go, Christians is mad at each other. You know, they're just taking drugs now. Drinking whiskey and shacking up.
Yep.
You know, all that visible of sins is prosecutable. But they don't say much about envy, strife, hatred, animosity, jealousy, unforgiving spirits, them sins that you can't see. You know, they look just as bad. That old gossip, that old whatever that is on the internet, I don't have that, but they call it Facebook. Gossip pages. You'd be surprised at Christians that's looking for something to gossip about. Did you know God looks at that gossip and I'd rather get drunk as to gossip? You can tell a fellow's drunk, if you catch him, he might repent. But if a gossiper, a liar comes along, they'll lay it on somebody else. They'll say, hey, I want to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. I don't want my name in it. Well, don't tell me. I tell everything I know. If you don't know it, so don't tell it. Amen. May God help us to see that we're workers. We're working on this building, this church building, that we're working together. We're His workmanship. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices. So I started to say, when you sing to the Lord, you offer up a spiritual sacrifice to God. So if they're singing, got that grace of God in them, and they're singing to the Lord, you got that grace of God in you, that'll ring your bell. What I'm doing right now is offering a spiritual sacrifice to God.
Amen.
I'm more interested in God being pleased in my preaching than you. And I want you to accept it, and I want us to have fellowship and all be brothers and sisters, but I'd rather God accept my preaching than anybody.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Amen. We're working on this, see? This is God's eternal work. He's got a work going on. And sometimes you can do better with a small crew than you can with a big crew. You know, a lot of times, people get one another's way. You ever been on a job and people got in each other's way? I've been on a job like that. Yeah, I didn't know much about that cornerstone. You know, Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. That's over there. Now, get a little bit ahead of myself. In Ephesians chapter 2, We're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the saints, household of God, built upon the foundation of the holy prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. They got the building, big building once, and they laid this peculiar looking stone over there. Everybody's just in the way, just stumbled over it. And every time they go down and get some more building material, they stumbled over that stone, and that was the cornerstone. That was the capstone. So after a while, they just knocked it on over the hill. When they got to meeting it, they wondered where the stone was. And there's a lot of folks putting the wrong kind of material in the building. They're daubing it with untempered mortar. Just any way to get them. They think now if you ain't got half a dozen saved every Sunday, that you ain't in the will of God. But I like to see people saved, but I found out a long time ago I can't save them. And I found out you can't save them. Somebody said, well, don't you believe in saying anything to them? Oh, I believe in asking. If they ask instructions, sure, I tell them what the Bible says. I can't make it real to them. You know, one brother said, well, didn't Paul tell the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I said, oh, yeah, after the earthquake.
Yeah, that's right.
After he was awakened.
Yeah.
After he sprung in and called for a light. After he fell down. After he started trembling. After he drew his sword. After he asked. See, look, like, don't just skip over all that and say, believe. He wasn't ready to believe. Till he asked. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thine house. Just more than intellectual belief. More than getting stirred up emotionally. It's a heart transaction. With the heart, all you are. With the heart, man believes unrighteous. Everything in you. You can't leave anything out. He becomes your owner, your Lord, your Savior. That is right. And God's got a building program going on. We're workers. Are we working? Are we working? Have we found out what we're supposed to do? One thing always amazed me is other folks know the will of God for us better than we know ourselves. You know, I've seen some of these guys, you know, and they come out and tell you right quick what the will of God for your life is. I have a pretty bad problem finding out what it is for me. And I certainly don't know what it is for you. So I think we're supposed to take a day off and find out what God wants us to do. Find out where God wants us to work. See, God's got plenty of room for every Christian to work on this building. He has, hasn't he? Got plenty of room. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Philip said, you mean you believe in foreordination? I said, I do in that verse.
Yeah.
He foreordained that we should walk. I told one of my good 5-point friends one time, I said, you know, everything God ordains not coming to pass. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, God foreordained that we should walk in good works. Most of us don't.
Yeah.
But he ordained that we should. He ordained those preachers of the gospel should live on the gospel. That's what God's perfect ordained plan would be. But some don't do that. What I'm trying to say, we need to find out for sure where God wants us. And what God wants us doing. Don't just take it for granted, you know, that I'm supposed to be doing this. Don't you think a lot of Christians just take it for granted? They take it for granted, you know. And that's about all they've heard, you know. You be sure, be faithful to church. Go to church Sunday morning, be there for Sunday school and church, and come back Sunday night, and come back Wednesday night. And most of our generation thinks if you're that, you're a faithful Christian. They call that being faithful. Well, when I was a boy, they didn't have church but once a month and sometimes twice. So you couldn't go from twice a month and call that a faithful Christian to go over here to 3 times a week and call that faithful. Something's wrong with that. It takes everyday life that's under. The Christian life is a daily self-denial and a daily submission to the will of God. That's what Christian life is. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Take your cross daily. So the cross carries with it death of this world, death of the old life, the new life in Christ. You prove. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. If you start presenting your bodies to the Lord, you won't get mad at the preacher preaching on immodesty. That's one of the first things you'll learn. If you present your body as a living sacrifice, that you're not supposed to wear shorts. You're not supposed to go 4/5 naked out in public somewhere and even put on them bullfighting breeches some of these women wear. You're not supposed to do that. You know, something wrong with people that don't have enough unction of God no better than that. They don't even have to be preached to. Well, I'm not just get up in the pulpit and preach on that, you know. I've been in churches where they come in dressed worse than they used to dress in beer joints. And that's not the worst of it. It's accepted in the average church today. Preacher, you know, they said, well, I don't believe in saying anything about it. I'm here to encourage them. I said, you want to encourage them where they are. Now listen, if we get right with God, we'll get encouragement when the Word of God's preached. It blesses me to hear somebody come down on sin. I thank God that I'm reproved, rebuked for my sins. And we got plenty of them. We think we don't have. One fellow said, well, I don't think I got any. It's a sin for you to think like that. The thought of foolishness is sin. How could you live in a messed up world like it is now and not get messed up a little? You'd be surprised how little's wrong with us and a whole lot wrong with other folks. We measure ourselves with ourselves. Y'all smile right. Ain't that about right? You know, I've not done what he's done. He's done that over and I've not done that, and that makes me feel a little bit better because he's done something I didn't do. Yeah, help us, Lord. May God help us. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy! Same word, sanctified. Holy. Except unto God. In other words, God won't take it. God won't use it. It's not holy. If you don't cleanse your vessel, sanctify your vessel, God won't use it. I don't care how saved you are. You can be saved, lose your joy, leave your first love, fail to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy step unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. The word conform means you accept whatever is generally accepted. Since the rest of the crowd does it, you do it too. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody's already mentioned it. But you know, it's pitiful how our minds are moved away from holy things. You know, TV, I thought that's bad. Then computer, I thought that's bad. Then internet, thought that's bad. Then Facebook, and I thought that's bad. Now cell phones and iPhones and people texting sometime in church while the poor preacher's trying to preach. See, our minds is overfilled with the cares of this life. That's what that's talking about there in Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Talking to the 12 apostles, or the 11. That day will come upon you if you don't take heed to yourself. You'll give your mind over to other things. Did you know that's where sin starts? Let not a man say when he's tempted, he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. When man's tempted, he's drawn away with his own lust and entice. Lust, therefore, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. It starts with a look. David's sin started with a look. That's why you're supposed to look to Jesus. If you look around, you're going to see a lot of stuff you ought not to see. I don't think he means to go around stargazing. But it means set your affection on things above, not the things of the earth. Realize you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when your life, when Christ through his hand, I shall appear, then shall also appear with him and go. You have a hard time, I have a hard time sometimes keeping my affection on things above. It's too much things down here. High cost of living, high taxation, everybody having to provide and all that stuff. Pretty hard sometimes to look above. And I say this humbly, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but most people, when they go to church, they want something to make them feel good and then leave. What they're looking for is something to make them feel better. And I'm not against you feeling good. A lot of TV preaching, what little I've got to see, most of that's designed to make people feel good where they are. That's why they don't talk about no sacrifice or submission or anything. They talk about prosperity and what all you can have in this world, new cars, new houses, all that stuff, instead of talking about real, genuine service to God.
Yeah.
See, it takes some self-denial to have that. Don't it? And you know, and I know what I'm through preaching, that's why it's hard for sinners to get saved. This, God didn't make it hard. He didn't put it way up here where they couldn't reach it. He put it down here where all of us can reach it. The problem is, we're so contaminated with so much stuff, there's no conviction on saints or sinners.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of standards. Don't you get tired of hearing about standards? Standards? You know what standards do? I've lived long to see standards change. You know, preachers have this kind of standard. Everybody can form that standard, but if a poor preacher dies or leaves, then everybody throws their standards away and starts doing what they want to do. But convictions, even the convictions, they hold truth. The preacher does leave or die. The biblical convictions, that's what we need. Something God puts in our heart to show us and tell us this is the way it is. And then that way you've got it when the going gets rough. May God bless you. I hope you're serving the Lord. I hope you're proving what is the will of God for you. If you're proving what is the will of God, because this is a pretty bad time, and I got some bad news. It's going to be worse next month than it is this month. Hey, we've been sold out. Politically and religiously. And we're heading downhill at a breakneck speed. Homes are being torn apart at the seams. I know people that goes and preach to these detention centers where they're locking up 8 and 9 year old children just because they don't have no home, no place to put them. Mother and daddy stole them away. And they're in these locked up places in these detention centers, and these poor preachers going over there giving them Bibles and trying to preach to them. You think that's not sad? That is sad. One fellow said, do you believe in fire missions? I said, I believe in world missions, but we're the heathens. We're the heathens now. We need some street preaching here, don't you think so? We need some going up and down the streets and trying to proclaim the good news now. Especially the young generation that's been thrown away by no good parents. It's awful. It's awful. We don't have a move of God, we're going well without end. I'm praying God help us Christians. As Christians, we actually hold the key to it. Christians do. World, I mean, a bunch of Democrats and Republicans, you can forget that. They're all gone.
Amen.
They done sold us out.
Yeah.
I mean, just forget that. A friend politics, write it off.
Amen.
I mean, I talk about from the city all the way up. You might find one every once in a while, but they're so outnumbered they can't do nothing. If the church don't come back to God,
amen,
as individuals in a collective body, we don't get God's favor turned our way. And God's frown's turned the nation's way now. Not the favor of God. The frown of God's turned on the nation now. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir.
Strangers devour our country. Aliens come in devouring the country. And the leaders of this country is helping them do it.
Yeah.
No restraining on wickedness. See, I remember a time somebody mentioned, Brother Larry, I remember a time when even sinners, I used to walk easy around the church. That is God's house. He's preaching God's word. Now I wasn't saved, but I knew not to fool that. Nowadays, they make fun of us now. Even religious folks think you're a right-wing crackpot. People coming over here. Did you know that? Some so-called independent, sanctified Baptist believes it. That's right. May God help us. I'm getting kind of serious about this. I think we need a returning back to God. God's people first. Then there'll be a revival and regeneration when God's people returns. Get the right spirit toward each other. Right spirit toward the service of God. Don't you think so? May God bless you. How many folks are saved? I'd like to see your hand. God bless you. Appreciate it. May God bless you.